Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and I'm riding solo today for right now, but it's all good. We're going to keep the train rolling. Remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to listen to the playbacks of your favorite shows, to learn more about your host and our wonderful guest. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train, Freedom Train Net. And follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. So Twitter at Freedom Train Net, Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Make sure you subscribe to the Freedom Train either on Google Play or iTunes. That way you can get the episodes coming straight to your phone. And you won't have to go looking for them or search anything. It's the Freedom Train, you know. We're giving it to you. So today, we got a great show. We got one of our favorite guests back on the train today. Last time we interviewed her, first time we interviewed her, she just won her first state championship here in Tallahassee, Florida, as the head basketball coach of the FAMU High DRS girls basketball team. Next time we interviewed her last year, she was a repeat champion. Now she's back again as a three-time state championship coach. And not only as a three-time state championship coach, but three-time coach of the year. So without further ado, I want to bring to you Miss Erica Camardi, the coach of the FAMU High DRS girls basketball team. How you doing today, Erica?
I'm great, and I'm happy to be back on a Freedom Train.
Yes, man. We happy to have you. And, you know, this is anytime you want to come on the train, you're more than welcome, because you bring positivity. And like I've always told you more than a million times, I love what you do for the youth. I love what you do with the young girls and the young guys that you come in contact with. And we see them going off and doing great things in life. So we appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm happy to be back on the show, because I always have a good time on the Freedom Train.
Yes, ma'am. So we ain't going to keep the people waiting too much longer. So I want to go ahead and get into these questions so they can learn a little more about you. And remember, you go into our Freedom Train archives and listen to some of our previous two interviews that we had with Erica, and that way you can learn a lot more. But right now, we're gonna enlighten your mind and get you ready. So the first question is, now that you're a three-time state championship head coach here in the state of Florida, first, you know, how does that feel, and what makes this championship different from the previous two that you've won?
This one, it was, I would say, more so of a just a all-out collective effort. I mean, and the reason why I say that is because, I mean, the first one was, all three of them was, but for some reason it just seems like this one, you know, people really counted us out, and they really stuck together and just made sure that, you know, they was going to get what they set out to do, and that was win the state championship. We had bumps, and, you know, and on the way, but for the most part, they stayed together and got it done. So I would say this one, I hold a special part of my heart because, I mean, they really had to get it how they got it.
Right. So when you say people counted you out, why do you think people counted you out with this particular team?
Because in their eyes, and I'll make sure I say that again, in their eyes, they felt that, you know, well, what we had wasn't enough. You know what I mean? And I always tell them, certain people come together for a reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's almost like it's pre-designed to be the way it's supposed to be. Even through injuries, even through, you know, people just leaving or graduating or just, you know, having other future endeavors, certain teams come together for a reason. So I told them, what you have now is going to be enough.
Right.
And they got it done.
And see, that's kind of amazing, seeing that you are the coach that you are, and you are proven. I mean, you're proven at every level that you've coached at. So do you think it was had something to do with, or mostly to do with, your loss of the players from the previous teams and having to deal with, I guess, younger players?
You mean from all the way back to middle school?
Well, this particular team that you won this year. Losing the players from last year's team. Do you think that contributed to some people counting you out?
Almost definitely, yeah. Because like I tell the girls, every round goes higher and higher. Because we lost three seniors last year, and two of those seniors were the starters. One of them was our leading scorer. So, I mean, anybody that just really look at it from the outside looking in would think, okay, you lost your leading scorer and you lost three seniors. And not only just three seniors, we lost three of the biggest girls we had.
Right.
So not only are we just losing players, we're losing size, experience, and everything. So that was a lot from outsiders to think like, oh, no, that's it. You know what I mean? You lost almost your whole team with just size and experience. But I'm like, you know, like I tell my girls, show me my opponent. I mean, that's how you got to come on with it, because if not, if you look at what you have, then you're going to be defeated. But if you realize what you have is enough, you can do it. And they did.
That's good. That's good. And so, I mean, people going to learn about, like, especially counting someone out like you, because you have that mold, that mindset, that spirit of I'm going to get it done no matter what. So people going to learn about counting your teams out, because, you know, it may get your minds right.
Like T.I. said, if you sit with me, you go in place.
There you go. There you go. I like that. So seriously, you really are no stranger to becoming a champion, and being that you just pulled off a three-peat, which is amazing. In your opinion, what attributes must one have to become a champion within their respective fields?
It's a mindset, honestly. You know what I mean? First of all, you got to, like I said before, you got to believe that it can be done. If you don't believe it can be done, I don't believe how much preparation or practice you put into it, it's not going to happen. You got to, first of all, believe, you know, have faith in God that he's not going to leave you, or he'll never put more on you can bear. So you got to believe that what he gives you is enough to work with. And then preparation does play a factor, preparation and just like having the knowledge of what you're doing. You can't just be willy-nilly and expect, you know what I mean, results.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a basis of what you're doing. I would say the knowledge, the wherewithal, the confidence, and you got to remain humble too, you know what I mean, because much is given, much is required. So you got to understand that as soon as you got it can definitely be taken away.
That's true. So how much do you think, and I'm speaking in terms of an athlete or a team, how much in terms of making them a champion or helping them become a champion do you think a coach or a guide or that mentor plays into that role to help molding that player or that team into becoming the champion?
Well, I think I probably said this interview before. You got to be the first partaker. Like if I come in to practice or I come in a meeting defeated and feel like, oh, we just going to go through this season and let it turn out the way it turned out, then guess what? That's what it's going to be. But, no, I come in every year. I've had coached there. I came in like, we're going to do it. You know what I mean? We're going to win. I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but we're going to do it. And they look like, well, if she believe it, then, you know, I guess I need to, too. And after a while, that confidence, it draws onto your players. You know, how you feel, how you approach it, eventually they're going to start doing it too. And then eventually they're going to start seeing the results from it. And when they start seeing the results from it, oh, that's it. You know what I mean? It's over with then. And the results might not come in the beginning of the season. It might not even come to playoff time, but it's going to come.
Right. And what's great about what you're saying is how you're saying it, because I can feel like the confidence just coming off of you. Like you're really confident in what you're saying. You know what you're saying. And the greatest part about it is your knowledge is proven. Knowledge is tested. It's failed. It's succeeded. So the confidence that you have coming off of you, because we often have certain women on this show who speak with that confidence, and I love that confidence that you have, because you are directly working with young girls, and that's going to rub off on them, and that's going to help them love themselves more. So
yep.
I love that. I love that. So, you know, each year is different. And
oh yeah.
You can either have new players or a new philosophy or new something changing about the season, right? So
right.
How are you able to get your players to rise above the competition despite any changes that may occur, and you know, get your players ready to roll despite having setbacks that just happened or anything?
Like I said, it's the mindset, it's preparation. And then this year too, like this like the toughest schedule we've had since okay. I've been there. You know, so you know I think we finished 22-9. So you would okay. look at him like, dang, you know, y'all lost nine games, but people don't realize those nine games were against bigger schools, schools that wasn't even in the association.
Right.
And then, I mean, bigger schools, and I say bigger not just class-wise, but size-wise, too. So,
right.
you know, in the beginning of that, I had to keep telling them, don't worry about it. You know, it hurt now, but it's going to help you later. That wasn't easy because, especially not from a team that's used to running through people. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So they had to understand, like, dang, yeah, we getting our butts kicked, but at the same time now, come January, February, it's going to pay off. And they started seeing it. So this year was different because it wasn't just we just blowing people out every game. No, we really, really had to grind and get it done this year. So, I mean, this team, and see, what people don't realize, too, maybe other teams couldn't have gotten through it. You might have
right.
had teams that are, you know, just fold when they don't see the results they used to seeing. But this team, they dug deep and got through it.
Right, right. But that also comes off the personality of the head coach too,
mm-hmm.
because this is in my mind. I've gone ahead and put you in the class of certain coaches that I admire and I watch and I study, and like the Bill Belichick, the Gino Auriemmas, and all
oh,
them.
Oh, it's a big behind name.
I mean, look, but you've earned it though. I mean, you are at the top of your class. I mean, the three you've won three Coach of the Year awards in a row. Like you're at the top of your game, so I put you in that class of coach because it's something about you as a coach, as a motivator, as a leader that's special that rubs off on your players, and so that right there is, to me, an important key into getting any organization, any team to that next level, and you know I got to tip my hat to you on that because like just consistently watching because I expect you to win. That's me. When your team step on the court, I'm expecting you all to win. I'm expecting to see you in state.
And that's how we look at it too, Joe. That's exactly how we look at it. Not to be arrogant or conceited, whatever. It's just being confident because we feel like we work our behinds off preseason.
But,
you know, during the season, that's the time you reap the benefits.
Right, right. No, I agree, but I think that oftentimes. Especially our parents have taught us to be humble, too humble to a fault, and they never taught us how to like really praise ourselves and really, really be confident. Because you see somebody like a Kanye West, and he crazy. Nah, he not crazy. Well, okay, certain things, yes, he's crazy. But if you look at like the older Kanye, the younger Kanye, he wasn't crazy. He was just that confident in his ability,
yeah.
And that's how people should walk around.
Right.
So.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yes, ma'am. And but especially with you working with such young girls as well, like high school age girls, like you able to get these high school age girls over. You know, we talked about this in the last interview. You're able to get them over their high school issues to get them to go ahead and focus on the task at hand.
Man, and you hit it on the head with that. Like some people just, like I said before, they just see you on the sideline. Oh, okay, she's just working with them basketball. I mean. All 3 years, it's been way more than just basketball. Sometimes basketball is the last thing we deal with some situations. You know,
right,
so
it
takes a whole person to be able to coach. Like, you can be, you know the game inside and out, but if you can't relate to the players, if you can't, you know what I mean, motivate them, encourage them, then you're still non-void because what you know, you can't even get to them.
Right, right. I mean, It's it's kind of like, because you're kind of like, especially at this level, a teacher as well. And to get the best out of me, you got to connect with me. And if
there
I don't
you
know
go.
That you care.
You have a way. Yep.
Yeah. I ain't going to give you what you need. So.
And I
so,
tell them all the time, like, some of the stuff they do or
uh-huh.
have done, I'm looking at them like, I've done it. I've been there. You know what I mean? So
right.
I don't judge them like, what are you thinking? You know, what are you doing? No, it's like, I know why you did that, but why you shouldn't have. Or I see you did that, but why you think you feel that way or something like that. And in that
right.
way, they can understand, like, dang, she is trying to correct me, but at the same time, she understands where I'm coming from.
Exactly, exactly. But everybody needs that type of person, that type of personality to help them get to that next level. So,
mm-hmm.
so like, with that being said, you're going through the season. You're having your ups and downs in the season. So at what point during this past season did you realize that your team was a championship team, and how were you able to convince your team, like, all right, we here, it's time for us to kick, flip, as they say, flip this switch and kick it in the championship gear?
I would say when we came back from the Christmas tournament in Atlanta. When we
okay.
went to Atlanta, we lost 3 straight games. We played Friday, Saturday. Did we play Sunday? I think we played. No, it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think that's how it went.
Okay.
We lost 3 straight. The first game, we almost won. I think we played Jones out of Orlando. That was a good game. Second game,
uh-huh.
we got beat pretty bad. I think it was Oxbridge. In the third game, I forgot who we played, but we lost, like, well, we lost in overtime. I think that's how it went. So
okay.
even though we were in the games, you know, they played hard. I mean, we could have won. They lost all 3. So
mm-hmm.
when we came back from that in practice, I'm looking at them like, okay, let me see how they're going to be. They came back ready to go as if, like, okay, we still got it. Once I seen that, I was like, oh, we good. I thought I was going to have to come in and, pick them up off the floor. Nah, they were ready to go. Now, we did end up losing 1 more game after that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, we kept rolling. We won all the way to state championship. But when I saw their attitudes after that tournament, I said, oh, okay, they want it still. They still want it. Like, they gonna win.
Right, right. At any point during this process, do you, like, step back and just take in the moment, like this is really happening to me? Like, you ever do that sometimes?
No, and someone told me that I need to do that. I do not. And, like, I just watched the championship game a couple of weeks ago because I hadn't even
right.
had a chance to even look at it. But I just sat home and just watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through, like, some of our old videos, some of our old pictures, because I usually don't even do that. And someone told me, like, you got to enjoy it because it's going to go by really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I said I'm going to start doing
yeah.
that.
See, I asked that because that's something I got to start doing, too. Like, I just
mm-hmm.
do stuff and won't necessarily experience it. But, like, seriously, though, like, what you are, like, you're doing something that is transformative. You're actually not just enriching yourself, but you're enriching people's lives. Like, you changing these girls' lives. And these are experiences that they're going to cherish for the rest of their lives. These are experiences that could potentially help propel them to be great people and doing whether it's making it to the WNBA or anything else that they want to do, because they already know, looking at that ring every time they look at it, I can accomplish anything I put my mind to.
Yep. And like I said, like I was telling my assistant coach the other day, I mean, shoot, they're doing things that we weren't even thinking about in school. Like, FAMU High, we were good when I was in school. We was really good. But it wasn't
mm-hmm.
like, oh, we going to win. Well, I know my time. It wasn't like, we going to win. So we just enjoyed playing. You know what I mean? But these girls these days, they're really goal-driven, which is really good. And, you know, they're accomplishing most of their goals. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
That's so cool. That is so cool. So, I might be wrong, but I just want to make sure I say this right. In the championship game, your team had, because I know it's a lot of talks on the street that your team was outmatched by size against the team.
Oh, we were. That's true.
In the championship
That's definitely
game.
True.
And so,
yeah.
And I heard an interview where you were saying that you came up with some kind of strategy. So can you take us through that strategy, kind of explain, like, the situation that you was dealing with and how you were able to put together a strategy to defeat this team?
Yeah, me and my assistant coach, James Brown, we studied that team, and we figured, okay, that's who we'll probably face. And so we watched them. And see, with me, I can, and I'm not saying this would be like, oh, you know, whatever, but I can look at a team, like I don't have to watch the whole game. I can look at a team, maybe a quarter, and I can point out what you can't do and what we can make you do. Like with them, I knew, okay, they might have one or two ball handlers. After a while, she ain't going to want the ball no more because we're going to put so much pressure on her that she's going to want to get rid of it. Then I said, two, they're slower than we are. So either you're gonna beat us with your ball handling, which you can't do for a long period of time, or you're gonna try to outrun us, and that's not gonna work. So we felt like let's set them up with our press where they can't even get the ball across half court after a certain amount of time. And in the game, if you ever see the video, I think going into the second quarter, they were throwing the ball in the stands. They was like passing it. Nobody wanted to even handle the ball because after a while, that pressure got to them and they started getting to them mentally. So once I saw that, I was like, okay, all right, we got it. And then on offense, we started using our speed to our advantage, pick and rolls, dribbling off the, passing off the dribble, like making them converge and then passing off to the open person for the shot. So once we start getting into our groove, now the team didn't just die. I mean, if you made it that far, you're not going to just give up. Right. But after a while, I knew that was it.
Now, that's cool, though. I mean, and for people listening, that's the importance of, like, knowing what you are doing, studying your opponents, because a lot of times you hear people, I ain't worried about it. Nah, you study your opponents, what you're doing.
You want to worry about them because you need to know, like, what you're working with, what you're working against.
Yeah, that strategy, though. I mean, because, and I had to ask you about it because I remember hearing you talking about it and then hearing the people on the street talking about it because there was chatter in the beginning of the year. I think I was at the barbershop and talking to somebody, and they was like, fam, you ain't good this year. I was like, man, I was like, who the coach? And they was like, Erica. I was like, they ain't good. I like, they might have some ups and downs, but just keep your eyes on them because she the coach. You better keep your eyes on them, man.
Go back to that barbershop. Nah, just playing.
they know what time it is.
I bet they do.
You know,
I don't think we ever talked about this in the interviews before, though, but honestly, like, and that's a good situation. I'm happy you did share that. That's a good situation because in this position, you gotta not hear stuff. If you understand what I'm saying,
right?
Because if you listen to everything that's said, then you're gonna go back and forth, and then your girl's gonna be unstable. You gotta believe in what you believe in, regardless of what it say, who say it, what it look like. You know what I mean? You gotta just be all in tune in because it's gonna be chatter, like you said, about it's gonna be people that probably have good intentions, but just going off what they see or how they feel.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, They're not in your situation. They're not going through what you're going through. They don't know what you know. They don't believe what you believe, and they can't do what you can't. That what you can do. So the outside world, let them talk. Like,
right?
Those who can do, those who can't criticize.
There you go. And you go. And I had to realize a long time ago. I don't care if you win 50 straight or 5 straight. You gonna still have some naysayers, which is fine. But I don't really. I don't even pay no attention, honestly. I'm sorry. I guess I done got immune. It don't even bother me.
Right. No, that's good, though. I mean, that's good that you're at that place because, like you said earlier, it makes your team more calm, your team more focused. That, all right, well, coach ain't worried about these people talking, and coach is proven. So let's ride with coach.
I mean, we had to deal with that with the girls, too. Like, I mean, they had to deal with it. They had to keep hearing, oh, y'all not going to do it because of this and the third. They caught it this year. I think this year was the worst. They caught it this year a lot. We had to keep, like, putting out fires with them because they just was hearing people, even some people in their family, you know, like, they had to really be strong, too. So it ain't just the coach that get it. They get it, too.
Yeah, that's – and, like, If that's coming from adults, that's unfortunate because adults should always be encouraging the kids. But I know if it's coming from other kids, that's going to be the one that's toughest. Well, I'm not going to say that's the toughest, but that's the one that they may have to deal with the most, because the other kids that may be at their school or ones that be in their neighborhood. So, y'all just lost three games, so y'all not good
or whatever, you know, the critics.
But then when you win, they the loudest ones in the gym screaming for you. Like, I told you could do it. Like, nah, you didn't.
Or then you had the ones that don't say nothing at all.
Yeah.
But that's why I have to tell them you can't do it for nobody else. Because if you do it for somebody else, you're going to always be playing for them. You know what I mean?
That's so key right there. Like, because so many people, I always hear, I'm doing this for this person. I'm doing this for this person. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the day, you got to do it for you.
Yep.
So being that winning is becoming the norm in your world, like, especially coming into this year and in the previous years, how were you able to keep your players from becoming complacent and, be able to focus especially at the beginning of the season, be able to focus on getting into the groove and making sure that they have a smooth season going into the playoffs?
It was just a talent to have them feel like you can make history, because they did. Like, this team right here that won the three-peat, they were the first team in history to win three-peat in the city and at the school.
Wow.
So
okay.
That's what I used. Like, I was like, y'all could be the first team. I said, y'all could pass my team. Well, they've already passed my high school team.
Right.
We never won state. But I was like, y'all can be the first team in FAMU High's history to have a three-peat. I said, your name can go in the history books. Like, I kept preaching that.
Uh-huh.
And so that was enough. And then, like, they like challenges, too, like myself. Like, they like challenges. They like to see, like, people counting them out and people not believing them. They like to prove people wrong.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And you all were just awarded or recognized by the commissioners just recently, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. What was that all about?
Well, that was a representative, Ramon Alexander.
Okay.
He had us come, well, my team, most of them were out of town, and it was like grad bash, or they wasn't there, but he acknowledged the team at the meeting, the general meeting they have every year. And he just talked about, because we went to school together, family house, so he just talked about how tradition of the school is, how we came out of FAMU High and how it was then. And then he's a big supporter too, so he's seen them play and just how he's seen them progress from the beginning to the end and how they worked hard and they won it. So he was just, showing us some appreciation of the transition that we did from the beginning to the end and how we, represent the school and the community.
And that's so cool.
And matter of fact, today Bill Proctor acknowledged the team at his meeting with a proclamation that he gave to the school.
I think that's when I just recently saw that one. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, oh, I didn't even know who was out.
Yeah. I don't know who posted it, but I saw it. So.
Okay.
At first, I thought you posted it, but now that's
I didn't even know that was out already.
Yeah, you out there.
That's social media, boy. It has no name on it.
Yeah. Right. You never know. Nah, but that's so cool. Like, you are definitely an inspiration to not only your school, to the community, to the city. Like two counties. Like, you inspiring two counties worth of especially young black girls who want to come up and be successful. So this whole ride as a coach, not just at FAMU High, but as a coach, period. What has been your most rewarding moment that you were able to share with your team that has helped them grow as players and help you grow as a coach?
I would say achieving the impossible. And when I say that like that, because I'm sure some of them probably come in thinking they can win three state championships, but I doubt it. Some of them just probably want to win. But for them to just, some of them on the team has three, some of them has two, some of them has one. But to say you even have one, I mean, it's some people that go through high school that's never won anything on a team. So that's my main thing, to see them be successful and to see them grow from coming in ninth grade, even because, you know, my school is K through 12, if they came in elementary, or to see them come from middle school to high school, to see them transition into good young ladies, that's my biggest thing. And to be successful past me, because I feel like if you're successful past me, that means something I've done while you were with me is carrying you on. It don't have to be basketball. It could be, you know, school. It could be, you know, anything, because I feel like, dang, I played a little part of what you're doing now. You know what I mean? So that's my biggest attribute, I would say, is to see them be successful either on the court or off the court and being respected.
Right, right. And now that's cool. And that also, that made me think about stability too. So, like, how important is it for you to have stability within your coaching staff and in administration to be able to create a championship team?
Well, my coaching staff, first of all, you all have to have the same philosophy. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, you can't have one coach believing this way, another coach believing that way, and then it's like you're pulling against each other. Because if we're pulling against each other, then imagine how the team is going to be. So you got to make sure that, you know, everybody understands what you're trying to do. And that's a big thing, too, because you got to have good people around you. Yeah, I'm the head coach, and, you know, I'm the first partaker. But at the same time, I'm not doing it all by myself. I got to have a good staff that understands what we're trying to do. And I thank God that for the last 3 years, I've been blessed with a good supporting cast. Even the school, you know what I mean? They've been supporting the girls or whatever. And so just for the girls to see all that, I said all that plays into success. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, it's like a household. If your household is just crazy, you know what I mean, it's not stable, it's willy-nilly, imagine how those kids are going to come out into the world.
That's true.
It's the same thing as a coaching staff.
Right. Now, see, I asked that because now you guys have a chance to create a championship factory. Like, seriously, because you're K through 12, and now, okay, so if 3 years ago I was in kindergarten, and I'd seen this basketball team full of girls win championships three times in a row. Like, wow, I've never seen that. I probably never knew high school could do that, or even at this level could do that. So I see three in a row. But like I say, the stability in the coaching staff and the buy-in into the school. And so when you have the young girls, you know, they with them just seeing it, so that's creating a mindset that I can win mindset. And then when they get to start playing and they playing at the school, and because it's K through 12, they can play at the school and philosophies are learned and remembered and mastered. So by the time they get to your level, they ready to go. So y'all can have a true factory going on over there.
It could be, you know what I mean? Like you said, it is K through 12, so and then being that I work there too, so I see it too as a PE coach. So I see them in class, too. Yeah, so it is a good thing that's going on. It's just a matter of, you know, taking it 1 year at a time. Because somebody already asked me the other day, like, y'all ready for the 4P? I'm like, I'm enjoying this right now. Like, I don't want to hear about that right now.
Right,
I'm just
trying to
enjoy this.
Yeah, I know, right? Can you live life for a minute?
Really? Really?
But it's amazing, though, because, like, it's really opening up doors for you and the girls, and they being exposed to things that they may not have been able to be exposed to if they weren't, you know, performing at such a high level.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, throw the little curveball question, even though I'm talking about stability in the coaching staff. So, how long do you plan to coach at FAMU High?
I think you're gonna ask me that.
If you got any future plans of, you know, college or WNBA, anything like that that you ever had in the future that you might pursue?
Yeah. I can't tell you how long I'm going to be at FAMU High. I don't know that. But, yes, I do have plans to pursue collegiate coaching and WNBA. But I can't tell you how long I'm going to be at FAMU.
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, and anybody can tell you, I watch women's college basketball, and people, and I watch WNBA, and all my friends and everybody that know me, they always like talking to me. Why are you watching that? It's boring. But it's like, to me, it's such a great brand of basketball, because you get to see like all the real elements of what makes basketball, what makes a team, because just looking at South Carolina winning this last championship, but really paying attention to that game between them and Mississippi State, but also paying attention to the game between UConn and Mississippi State, and how, like you said, strategy, how Mississippi State's how Mississippi State's coach was able to come up with the strategy and the mindset to get their girls in the game of, hey, we come to beat UConn and we don't care who we playing. Like, that was amazing. That's what you already have, though, as a coach. You're bringing that, and you have that with your girls, so that you're going to be able to excel on any level you go to.
And I thank God for that, and I pray I can, because, you know, that's just been my future goals when I started coaching. Like, I don't want to stay at one level. You know, that's why I said, yes, I plan to continue on. I just don't know when yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, like they say, you got the juice. So
crazy.
So, as either a player or a coach, or even when you were growing up watching basketball and learning about basketball, what has been your greatest moment ever that you've had being involved in basketball, and what made that moment so great?
That's a really, really good question. I guess it was the cohesiveness of your teammates, you know what I mean? Like, the sisterhood and the skill of the game. Like, you know, like every year you want to improve on. Like, when I was playing, I wanted to every year get better at something. Like, if I can't dribble the ball with my right, because I'm left-handed, if I can't dribble the ball with my right hand, that's what I'm going to be doing all summer. If I can't make the shot how I want to shoot it, I'm going to be doing it all summer. So it was the challenge of just continuing to get better and better and better. So as a player, I would say that the camaraderie with my teammates and just the challenge to get better every year. As a coach, I would have to say just to see the girls excel. Mm-hmm. And the thrill of when you get the cards as dealt and how you deal, how you play it to win. You know what I mean? That's a challenge, too. Because if I could hand pick players, I mean, why would you coach? You know what I mean? Because it's like you already know what you're going to get. But the fact that you get what you get and you still perform well, now that's a big challenge right there. Because I always tell my coaching staff, I don't think anybody else would get the team we had and do the same thing.
Right. Nah, that's true. I mean, some people have the ability to get the best out of others. Like for example, I mean, like I'm not such a fan of Tom Brady off the field, but on the field and the Patriots, like, they take obscure players and create championship teams for them.
Yep.
You know, and that's their philosophy. We're gonna get the best people for what we're doing, not necessarily the best overall.
There you go. You got it. Because everybody's not gonna fit your system now.
Right.
So
right.
They could be good. They could be a hell of a player, but they gotta buy into what you're trying to do.
That's true. As last year or the two previous years, your team was 2A. Now you're 3A this year. So for those who don't know what that means, can you explain to people what's the difference between 2A and 3A and why FAMU High switched from one to the other?
Now, honestly, we don't know why we switched. We've heard why we switched. We've heard rumors as to why we switched. I've heard because this is just talk. Now, I don't know if this is true. I've heard because y'all dominating 2A, so they tried to move you. Because it's usually based on the enrollment. And our enrollment hasn't changed that much for us to move up a class, but they reconfigured all of the class, mostly all of the schools, so they added in the class. So I'm thinking that's why, because they added, 8A, 9A, one of them, they added a class. So I think that moved everybody around. But, yeah, we moved up a class, meaning that we're playing bigger schools than we played last year.
Right.
Honestly, to me, basketball is basketball. I mean, but that's just my opinion, though.
Right. But hey, they put a mountain in front of you and you knocked it out the way.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it don't matter. We'll play anybody. I mean, because for real, we look at it as, you know, it ain't really all about you. It's all about us getting better for what we're trying to do. So we don't worry about our opponent like that.
Hey, that's so cool. Now, one thing that's that really cemented it for me, like with you, and just knowing that you really, really, really know your stuff, is last year's interview with you. We were talking about, I think, Patrick, or we got on the subject of, like, the strategy that the Warriors and the Cavs had, because around the finals time, you was basically breaking out. They were, how fatigue was affecting them because the amount of threes and things they were taking. And what was so cool is, like, 2 days later, I'm watching, like, Inside the NBA, and, like, Luke Walton and all the other ones, they started saying what you exactly what you said.
No,
I'm like, hey,
they
man,
didn't.
Said that first.
Did they?
I'm dead serious. I'm so serious. Like, I've heard it was, like, it was at least three or four different broadcasts, whether on TV or on the radio, and everything you said, they said. And I was like, but
wow.
Also, and then looking at the series played out, you called it.
I mean, the best ball is going to be that squad. Now, it's going to look different on different levels. I mean, that's evident. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, basketball is basketball. You got to know the game. Not saying I'm James Naismith, the owner, I mean, the inventor of it, but I can say that I know a little bit about it. And if I watch it, if I watch a team long enough or a player long enough, I can tell you something about them.
Right, right. I mean, you were definitely dead on and spot on. But it's just amazing. So people, hey y'all. Respect. This is why we have to support our people who are out there doing it, because, like, you are at the top of your game, and you need to be celebrated for it. And we, the city, the county, everybody need to be behind you and your team, celebrating you and any other school and any other people around here. That's what we have to support people like you, because we want to make sure that you If you leave the community, be able to have the will to come back to the community and give back, so you can make sure the next generation, because there could be some more Erica Commandes out there somewhere.
Oh,
but
they
need,
I'm sure
you know,
is.
They
it's
need that, those
better.
Resources. Right. So let's say we have some young, especially young black girls who want to be a head basketball coach but may not have any clue where to start. And let's say their parents might be listening to this podcast, may listen to it. So what advice would you give some of these young girls if they want to be a head coach, to kind of get their mind right, or help even point them into the right direction of becoming not just a coach, but a successful coach?
Well, with anything you do, with any sport it is that you want to coach, first of all, you have to be knowledgeable of that sport. You know, like you, for instance, you go to the doctor got to be able to tell you everything that you're going in there for. They can't be, oh, I'm going to find out, let me find out, let me Google it. No, they got to know exactly what's going on. So with any sport you're trying to, you got to be knowledgeable of it. Second, you have to understand, at that point when you're coaching, it's about the players that you're serving. Your time is over with. You have to be very, very, very selfless. And I think that's the problem that some people run into. They still trying to get that glory within themselves, and at this point, it's past you.
Right.
You got to
be
selfless, and then three, you have to continue to get better. And when I say that, go to clinics, continue to stay on top of what you're doing. So, like you said, it's somebody else coming up now that's trying to be on your coattail or trying to pass you, but you got to continue to. You got to continue to improve your craft, continue to understand your craft, and know that things change around you.
Right. So you mentioned the coaching clinics, and oftentimes people mention the clinics but won't go into detail. So what's the most rewarding part that you've experienced about going to these coaching clinics?
Just seeing drills and concepts taught or practiced in different ways. I mean, like I said, basketball is still basketball, but sometimes, like, when you go to clinics, they could be doing the same drill. They could be trying to get the same concept, meaning, like, they could be trying to teach a girl how to spin move. So you might teach them another way, but when you go to the clinic, they're showing you a totally different way to do it. And it's like, dang, okay, I like that. You're still getting the same results, but you just teach in a different way. Because sometimes with teenagers especially, the repetition is key, but sometimes they don't like repetition. So you have to kind of, like, tweak it, but at the same time, understand you're trying to get the same result. So just seeing things done a different way, understanding different coaching philosophy, and just meeting people and networking. I would say that.
That's good. That's good. Always good
because
to have
it's a
friends.
Community. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, this last question, like you know, we usually Ooh. Ask it, but I want to change it a little bit because,
okay.
You know, for what we have here in the format, what do you think needs to happen to see black women get more opportunities to become head coaches on the high school, collegiate, and professional levels?
Man, it's so funny you asked that because my superintendent and I were talking about that. We talk about that all the time because he feels mm-hmm. that women, it's a lot of men, which, you know, that's to each his own, but he says a lot of men coaching women in college, and
right.
he feels it should be women coaching women.
Right.
But, I mean, that's to each his own because I've had some great male coaches, you know, within my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying that he feel like they should be getting paid the same amount as some of the men, and
right.
I definitely agree with that.
Right,
but
right,
I think
right.
It just has to be seen in a different light. You know, like you had the Pat Summits and you have the Tara Vanderveers and different other people, Don Staley. I think
yeah.
now they're starting to see the transition of women coaching women on collegiate level. I think you're starting to see more of that. Nothing against the Gina Amaremo or people like that, but
mm-hmm.
I just think, like, now women are coming up because they're starting to see the success of women coaches in college. So it's going to take some time, but I think we're making good gains with it. I'm
right.
not saying men shouldn't coach women because I think they can, but I do believe that women should have the same opportunity as those men when it comes to pay. That's
I mean,
all I'm saying.
I agree. I think with the pay, the opportunities, because I'm sure there are more than enough capable women coaches who are able to coach in the NBA and
exactly.
you know getting those opportunities there, but also like celebrating coaches like you, celebrating coaches like Don Staley. The community need to get behind you because I was so happy that Don won, first of all, because I had the opportunity to watch her career since she came out of college, and just you know she always came close, and now she finally
yeah.
got it, but the fact that her girls were ready because that championship game, South Carolina came out there and they wasn't taking no shorts, no losses from
Mm-mm.
Mississippi
Mm-mm.
State. They're like, we don't care that you just beat UConn. We better
right.
than y'all. And they played like that from start to finish.
And they were missing their center, starting center.
Yeah,
like
they sure
went
was.
Down in the conference tournament, so they went through the whole postseason without her adversity. You know what I mean? But they prevailed, so. It's
yeah.
just a lot. I mean,
yeah.
you got to go through to get what you want.
Exactly. And see, that's why you always have a place right here on the Freedom Train. We always going to do our best to celebrate you and promote you and let people know about you and what you are doing here and as well as other women like you because it needs to be talked about more. It needs to be promoted. Like, women are just as capable as any man to get the job done. And you, like you said, you... And let me make sure I said it correctly. Earlier you said your team is the first team in the city to three-peat?
Yes.
And any sport or just basketball?
Now, it's funny you say that because I think now Osceola Christian softball team, they could three-peat if they win. I think they're still in the playoffs or whatever. They in
okay.
softball.
Okay. But y'all
so.
Still be the first ever, though.
Oh yeah.
See that, but see that's history. Like a black woman led a team of young black girls to three straight state championships in the state of Florida, and in the city of Tallahassee, you were the first ever to do that on any level,
yep.
in any sport.
Right,
so,
you got it right.
that's what's up. That's what's up. Like,
and see, like just you saying that, like I hear it, and I'm like, oh, that's really good. But it's not like you know. We've arrived. Like it's like I'm dead serious.
Right.
It's like okay, what's next? And I gotta remember, you know, you gotta enjoy where you are a little bit. But
yeah.
I'm still already on. Like okay, what I want to do next? You know?
Yeah. No, I got you. I figure I got the same mindset because it's always moving forward. But you gotta always remember to stop and smell them roses. I mean, because especially you, like you don't want to look back. I think I was watching one of those NFL documentaries, and that was doing Jerry Rice, and Deion Sanders was saying that he don't think that Jerry Rice enjoyed his career because he was always like
on to the
concentrating
next.
Yeah. Never really stop to say, dang, I did this, I did this, I did this. But
that's what I gotta work on, and that's the truth.
Yeah, I'm gonna be reminding you to do that. Stop and smell
right.
them roses.
And please do.
Yeah, because you're gonna be winning. You got a lot more winning to do. You ain't even scratched the surface yet. You got a lot.
Oh,
more
I receive
that.
Bring it.
I'm dead serious. I ain't just trying to like just say this because we're on this interview. But seriously, you have tapped into something that most people don't even know exists within you, and you are using that, and you're teaching your young girls to do that, and you're teaching them to overcome adversity and be their best. So you're gonna have a lot more winning in your future.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
So before we close this out, how can people contact you if somebody wants to like book you to come speak to their school, or they just want to give you a shout out or whatever? What's the best way that people can contact you?
I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and then my email, I'll give you my email address.
Okay.
It's Erica, E-R-I-C-K-A dot Cromartie, C-R-O-M-A-R-T-I-E at famu.edu. And they can shoot me an email, you know, and I'll get back with them.
Okay, and what's your Instagram and Twitter so they can follow you?
My Instagram is Miss E Cromartie _11.
Okay. Miss E Cromartie _11.
Uh-huh. And my Twitter is Coach Crow at FannyDRS. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Facebook is just my name, Erica Cromartie.
Right. All right.
Oh, and then we have a girls basketball page too. Facebook.
Okay. So y'all make sure y'all follow her. Y'all go to Facebook, friend her, stay in contact with her, because I'm telling you, it's a lot more winning in store. So I'm not going to hold you up too much long, because we can sit here and talk all day about this stuff here. But we definitely appreciate you coming on the show and kicking it with me. And you already know, you just let me know when you come back, or I might hit you first. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, thank you. That's why I really appreciate you, and I really, really, really enjoy these interviews, because the questions that you had, that's something I told you before we even started, it was some really good questions. Because
thank you.
And most of the post interviews you get after the game, it's more so just about that game or that situation. The questions you ask are more so about life and how things happen over time. So that's why I enjoy these interviews. It's not just about basketball, really,
right.
With your interview question.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you more than just a basketball player, and I want to make sure that people get to know you as a person. Being a coach is what you do. It's not who you are.
Right.
So they need to know
you
as a whole.
There you go.
Yes, ma'am.
There you go.
So like I say, anytime, you're more than welcome, and we appreciate you, and we're definitely going to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Miss Erica Cromartie. We need to get some hand claps in here. Go ahead and clap that up. Oh, that was a good interview. Miss Erica Cromartie, 3-time state champion. Back to back, and they even moved the team upper class to try to make it more difficult. Had a little adversity, but came back. The moral of this interview: have faith, either in yourself, high power, something. Have that faith. More believe in yourself. On top of that faith, trust yourself. Be confident in your abilities. Know what you can do. Be willing to work at what you're not that good at, and also be willing to work what you're good at to get better. And having great leadership around you. You have those. Those are the ingredients to being a champion. And Miss Erica Cromartie just laid it out. So you know how we do. Until next time, I'm Joseph Ward. It's the Freedom Train Podcast. Peace.